You're listening to WWBC Coco Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
and
today's
thank God
is Pastor
that
Ralph.
He's blessed us already into his kingdom. Amen. Flip back to 1 John chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. 1 John 4, look at verse 1. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye, verse 2 says, the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he says, is of God. And look, he's saying that in verse 2, but it's not just that they're saying it. Their lives are showing that there's something different about that person. That he's not just telling me he loves Jesus. Man, I look at his life. I see how he's conducting himself. I see him at his job. He is showing me that there's something different, that he knows not just the God of this world. He knows him for who he is, but he knows the God of glory through the finished works of Jesus Christ. I was at a church in New Jersey, and they asked me to be a deacon. And as I was training to be a deacon, I didn't know it. They were going to my job. They were talking to my wife. They were talking to my neighbors and my friends, because they wanted to know if I was who I said I was. They wanted to know if I was who I presented myself as. That I wasn't just putting on airs on Sunday or on Wednesday when I go to Bible study. They wanted to know how I was when I was in the quote-unquote real world. And I suspect they were satisfied because they did call me to that position. But guys, for the believer, for the one who truly says he knows God, that he truly loves him, that he saved him, his life is going to be different. And it's going to be different than those of the world. Now, I think of my life and how I was living, not just me, but me and my wife were living prior to Christ, man. And listen, we were doing everything that we were big enough and bad enough to do, and some of the things we weren't really big enough and bad enough to do, but we did them anyhow. And we weren't caring a whole lot about the God of glory. We weren't really caring about so much about what we looked like to people. But when God got a hold of us, and sure enough saved us and blessed us, man, it was a totally different picture. Couldn't walk that way anymore. Couldn't talk that way anymore. And was mindful of the things of the Lord. And all we wanted was to learn more about him. And the more we learned, the more we realized how out of sorts we were with him. But it took his spirit to get us back in sorts. And he blessed us and began to grow us. And guess what? Some years later, he's still growing us to be like his son. And I thank him for that. He says in verse 2, hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist. He goes on, well, ye have heard that it should come. He says, and even now, already is in the world. And again, those who are diametrically opposed against God are working out of that same spirit of the Antichrist. And though he won't be shown or named until after the church is gone, we see the influence of him in every aspect of our world, in politics, in world leaders, and listen, in laws that are passed, we see it. And each and every passing day, in fact, as Deacon Frank was saying, each and every passing year that goes by so fast, it gets more and more wicked, and we wonder how much more the Lord's going to allow before he takes us up out of here. But what we know is that while we're here, no matter how wicked it gets, we're still to be about our Father's business. And listen, we don't mount an assault on folk and to move them out of the way. Man, that battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. He says he will repay. He'll recompense. All we need to do is serve him. He has his hedge of protection around us. And look, if it's time for me to go, I'm going to go. But until then, I'm going to do what he calls me to do. And look, when the world says that even in this country that you can no longer name the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we have a choice to make. Who are we going to serve? The world? Or are we going to serve our God? And we need to make up our minds even right now. He says in verse 3, in every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come. And even now, he says, is already in the world. And he goes on, John goes on talking about believers. He said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because look, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And listen, he's talking about God. Christ is in us via his Holy Spirit that lives in us. And as long as we're obedient to God and to the Lord and to the leading of the Spirit, Satan really can't do anything to us. But many times we get frightful or frightened because those that are against him are more numerous. But man, those who are for him are more powerful. And as long as we stand our ground in Christ, we're going to be okay. I was watching a video the other day, and this guy was in the Serengeti or somewhere, and he was taking pictures of animals. And there was a guy that was filming him taking pictures. Unbeknownst to him, there was an elephant, group of elephants behind him in a clearing. And he turned around and he saw the elephants. And they had little baby elephants with them. And this one great big elephant with these long tusks saw him and proceeded to charge him. Now he's standing there with the camera, and this guy behind him is filming this whole thing. And that elephant was coming up. I mean, that dude was motoring. And in reality, he probably should have climbed the tree. But he just stood there. He stood on the ground. And the elephant got all the way up on him and stopped and just started scuffing dirt up on him and bellowing and kicking dust all on him. And then he turned around and went back. And they asked him, he said, man, you're really brave. You stood your ground even to that charging elephant. And I know you got some great pictures of that. He said, I didn't snap one. He said, the reason why I didn't move, because I was afraid. And I was scared to move. I didn't know what to do. And listen, y'all calling me brave. In reality, I was stupid. I should have ran. But he was just that scared because of the charging elephant. And guys, Satan will sometimes come at you like a charging elephant and will try to invade your life, try to invade your health, try to invade your household, try to invade your family. And you can see him coming a mile away and he's motoring, but just stand on the promises of God and don't move and don't be afraid. And there's nothing, hallelujah, that he can do to get through God's defenses. And listen, unlike that elephant who didn't get that man, we're intentionally standing with the breastplate of God and our feet shod in the preparation of God's peace, and know without a shadow of a doubt that Satan, you can huff and you can puff, and if God says so, you'll blow my house down. But I know I'm going to be okay because I'm covered by the one who bought me, and he said that he'll take care of me until I leave, and even after I leave, I'm going to be covered. That he who has begun a good work in me, he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Guys, not only are we on the winning side, we've already won, and we need to recognize that. He says in verse 4, ye are God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He goes on talking about those who are worldly. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world, he says, heareth them. And he says, and he's talking about those false teachers. And look, there are those false teachers. They got folk that follow them as well. And look, they want that itchy ear gospel. Say something to me to make me feel good. I just want to feel good even though I'm in sin. Don't talk about my sin. Just make me feel good. Let me know that even though I'm a sinner and I'm a keep sinning, that God still loves me and I can do whatever I want. And these folk want an itchy ear gospel, something to make them feel good for the day. But guys, when trouble comes your way, and trouble will come your way, you need truth to be able to withstand those attacks. Because an itchy ear gospel, something that makes me feel good for the day, is going to be fraught without truth. And when trouble comes, there's nothing I have that I can rely on that's going to get me through that trouble. So I need truth. And I don't need something that's just simply going to make me feel good. If I want to feel good, I'll put on my favorite record. And that'll make me feel good. But when trouble comes, I need truth. Amen? He says in verse 6, he says, we are of God. We are of God. He that knoweth God, he says, heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, he says, know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know, and we saw this last week, Matthew 7 and 15, that look, you can tell a tree by the fruit. And I don't care what that person is saying. If they keep telling me they're one thing, but all the fruit I see is something belonging to something else, I got to believe the fruit that I see and not their lying words. Guys, a lot of times folk will ask me for advice. They'll come to me and say, Pastor Ralph, I'm going through this or I'm going through that. And guys, I got to be honest. I don't have any wisdom of my own. The only wisdom I have is what God has brought me through and brought me through according to his truth. And so when I give them wisdom, it's got to be godly wisdom, something that's going to withstand the test of time. And many times when I'm giving them that wisdom, when it's godly wisdom, they'll say, okay, I'm glad you gave me that. And many of them will go and do exactly opposite of what I just said. And they're trying to work it out in their own steam and in their own strength because they don't like what God says. If God says to be obedient or to stop sinning or stop going this way or to stop being disobedient to me or to stop not doing what I told you not to do and they continue to do it, they want to keep and live in their sin and they want the blessings of God even while they're in their sin. And God said, no, I'm not touching that. I'm not doing nothing in that regard. Until you come to me in spirit and in truth, I'm not going to bless you out of your lie. And until you get right with me, nothing right is going to go well with you. And guys, there are folk in their lives, and they're putting Band-Aids here, and they're patching the roof here, and they're putting nails over here, and they take some plaster and cover a hole here, and they put a board on the floor because the board is weak, and they put that there, and they got patches all over their lives. When God is saying that, look, I can give you full coverage, but you got to bow a knee to me and show obedience to me and do what I told you to do, and them folk will break out in another Band-Aid and put it on their life and keep patching because they won't do what God has told them to do. He says in verse 5, they are of the world. Therefore, it says, speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And again, each year, verse 6 says, we are of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, he says, know we the spirit of truth and the spirit, hallelujah, of error. And again, somebody asked me advice. I can only tell them what God has given me to give them. That's going to come out of his word. And if they know the Lord, it'll echo in their heart, and they'll be obedient to what God says. And if they don't know the Lord, they're going to keep going the way they want to go. Amen. Guys, mark your page there. We still got some time. I want to go to the Gospel of John. And that would be page 928 if you're using a Pew Bible. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. And I'm going to look at a few verses here. In fact, quite a few verses. But I think y'all ain't got nothing to do after service anyway, so we can just keep right on going. But John chapter 10, I'm going to read a few of these verses. Page 928 in the Pew Bible. And it begins to speak about Christ and how he is the good shepherd. In fact, he's the only true shepherd. And it's a parable about sheep. And the Bible calls us sheep because we have many characteristics of sheep. In chapter 10, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. John writes, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same, it says, is a thief and a robber." And listen, he's talking about one that tries to sneak in unawares. They haven't gone through. He's talking about animals here, but it relates to Christians as well. They try to sneak in. The false teachers try to sneak in. They don't come in directly. They come sideways. Verse 2 says, "But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, it says, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth," look, "his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." In other words, they belong to him. They're his sheep. And guys, it's true in the animal world that the shepherd actually names them. And when he calls their name, they answer because they know who he is. They recognize his voice, and he's not a stranger to them. And when he put it forth, it says his own sheep. He goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And again, what's true of the animals ought to be true of God's children as well. And by the way, the only reason why these sheep can recognize his voice is because they spend time with him, and the shepherd spends time with them, and they talk and communicate. Though the sheep are talking, but he gives them commands over and over, and they learn his voice, just like we who know the Lord know whether or not is he talking to us or not. In verse 5 it says, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them." And again, he was not their shepherd, and they would not understand the words he said. "And then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." He said, but the sheep did not hear them. And again, they didn't. Before Christ came, there were a whole bunch of folk that were out and about. They were trying to issue orders, the Pharisees and all the rest of them. And listen, God's true children would not be obedient to them because they knew that they were not the true shepherd. "I am the door," verse 9 says, "and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." And listen, he's talking about not only saved from the penalties of sin, but saved, hallelujah, when we leave here from a formal sin that tries to ravage your body even now. He said, "The thief," verse 10, "cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Christ says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And listen, you think you're living now? You think you're going through now? Please know there's going to come a time when we're with Christ, and it will be abundant living. And guess what? He even does that for us on earth. If we're obedient to him, he'll do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He goes on, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And of course he did. That's why he came to earth in the first place. "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep, the verse says, are not, seeth the wolf coming, talking about danger coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. And listen, he's talking about a hireling. He's talking about somebody that they're only doing it for the money. And guys, there are a whole lot of leaders in a whole lot of churches that are simply doing it for the money, and they're just doing it for what they can get. And when trouble comes, here they take it off, and they will leave the flock to fend for themselves. True in the animal world, true also in the Christian world. In verse 13, he said, the hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am, Christ says, the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. Even so know I the Father. And he says, and laid down my life for the sheep. And again, not just saying it, he literally did it. Verse 16 says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be one fold and one shepherd. And look, he's pointing toward Jew and Gentile will have to get saved under the same Christ and will be blessed by the same Spirit. And God will not see us as Jewish and Gentile, but will see us as his children, as believers. Verse 17 says, therefore my Father loved me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He says, I have power to lay it down. Thank you, Lord. And I have power to take it up again. This commandment, he says, have I received of my Father. There was a division, of course there is, therefore among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And of course they can't hear him. They don't have a heart or spiritual ears to hear him. And by the way, there's some folk running around right now that think I have a devil. And guess what? They think you got one too. They think you're out of your mind, that you're believing on somebody that died some 2,000 years ago and that he has saved you. And guess what? They don't have a heart nor an ear to hear the truth. And many of them, verse 20 says, said he had the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others says, these are not the works of him that have a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And listen, we know that for telling the truth, many of the Jews just rejected him and would not hear him. Verse 22 says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And guys, he's been telling them plainly all along, they don't have ears to hear, and surely don't have hearts to understand. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because he said, ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, he goes on, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And again, he's talking about the true sign of a Christian is obedience. And guys, please know that. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And look, he's speaking about eternal security, that if you're really in, truly in, that you're in forever. He goes on, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. In verse 30, and here we go, and I and my Father are one. He's plainly saying that I'm God, that I am God the Son. In verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And of course they would, because they knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying that you guys are think that you've been worshiping my Father, but you have not. And you need to know that I have not only come from my Father, but I and my Father are one. And they knew he was saying that I am God, and they weren't standing for that. And they go on in some of these verses to begin to talk about how he's blaspheming, and they go and pick up stones to stone him. But of course, he's not leaving this town or this earth until God says it's so. And they did not stone him then, but we know ultimately they hung him on a cross. But guess what? Wasn't no big thing from their perspective that they would put him on the cross, but from his perspective and the Father's perspective, it was a big thing, because that's why he came to earth in the first place, to die in our stead, to die so that we could be free. And guys, some 2,000 years later, here we are. We are Christ's children. We are some of those other sheep that he had already earmarked for salvation. And we're representing him here on this earth. And thank God we don't have to be on the cross anymore, because Christ did that, and he did that one time and one time only. But persecution is going to get worse and worse all over the world, where it already is, and even in a country near you, when you have to stand and defend the faith that God has given us through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Guys, pay no attention to that elephant that's charging down the road. He's going to scuff, he's going to wail, he's going to fling his trunk back and forth. But you stand on the solid ground that Christ has you placed on, and he says everything is going to be okay. And guess what? That elephant might not be joking. He might come and run you over. But guess what? That's going to be part of God's will as well. We put our lives in his hand, and if that happens, well, so be it. But we pray it does not. But if it does, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Guys, I'm going to close there. I had so much more, but there's always next week. Let us bow and let us close out in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us this time and even this place, Father God, called Lamplight, a carriage house. And Father God, they do all kinds of things in here throughout the week. And listen, it's theirs. They can do with it whatever they want. But by your grace, Lord, they blessed us to be in here on Sundays to transform this place. In fact, we don't transform it. You have transformed it into a place where believers meet and can discuss and sing and pray about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, for that, we thank you. I pray your covering over each and every one within the sound of my voice. Father, you know what's going on in regard to Tex and his surgery, and those that aren't here that are ailing. Lord, bless them, minister to them, and touch them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, help us, and even in the spirit that lives in us, kick up our obedient quotient. And Father God, allow us to stand for Jesus Christ so that we will not fall for the things of the world, as we pray in his matchless and miraculous name. And let God's church say, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Give the Lord a hand clap. He's worthy.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.